the sports, all the news, Sportsfire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Rico.
Sport has the power to inspire and unite people. In Africa, soccer enjoys great popularity and has a particular place in the hearts of people. This is why it is so important that the FIFA World Cup will, for the first time ever, be hosted on the African continent in 2010. We feel privileged and humbled that South Africa has been given the singular honor of being the African host country. We must strive for excellence in our hosting of the World Cup, while at the same time ensuring that the event leaves a lasting benefit to all our people. The people of Africa learned the lessons of patience and endurance in their long struggles for freedom. May the rewards brought by the FIFA World Cup prove that the long wait for its arrival on African soil has been worth it. Kinako, it's time. I thank you.
Wow. Those words so appropriate. Everything that Nelson Mandela stood for. Humbled, privileged we are to have had the greatest statesman of them all in Nelson Mandela. What more can one say? The legend, the icon, the greatest statesman of them all. What a legacy left behind by Nelson Mandela. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to what is, unfortunately, our very last Sports Fire, sadly. We'll have more about that at the end of the show. The last show, of course, dedicated to Madiba. To our syndication partner listeners, West Coast FM in Namibia, 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Cowie FM in Port Alfred, Wild Coast FM in East London, and Eldo's FM in Johannesburg. On the last show tonight, the dedicated and brilliant analysts that we've had throughout the last 2 years. Kickoff.com's Tiani Mabasa, Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief, cricket commentator and journalist Neil Manthorpe, Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor, and of course, the off-the-wall analyst Norm. The clips tonight, the tributes to Nelson Mandela, and of course, baby Jake Matlala, who lost his life at the weekend. BBC Football News and Thomas Bjorn, winner of the Nedbank Golf Challenge at Sun City. At Joffa's my boy, the Twitter address, Facebook Graham Joffe. Thanks for all your comments over the time. The website address, sportsfire.co.za. That will continue with its exposés and hard-hitting news, sportsfire.co.za. Sportsfire has been powered by Rico, South Africa's leading provider of document management solutions.
Daddy, why do you come here?
Because here I can be creative.
Why is that important?
Because that's how we create our document solutions.
Why do you need document solutions?
Because they revolutionize the way people work.
What's revolutionized?
At Rico, we have as many document solutions as a six-year-old has questions. Why? Because when integrated creatively, information and technology drive productivity and profitability. Rico. Imagine. Change.
And a big thank you to Rico for their fantastic support over the last 2 years. It's been a pleasure dealing with some real professionals. To Esty, Deirdre, and the whole crew at Rico, a big, big thank you. The last Joffa's my boy soapbox, then short and sweet tonight. So sad and sick to see so many South African sports administrators on television, to listen to them on radio. Those administrators that are corrupt and telling us how we must uphold Madiba's legacy, while they are busy destroying it.
Sport has the power to inspire and unite people.
First up tonight, kickoff.com's Tiani Mabasa. Tihala, my brother.
Hey, boss. You know, firstly, I just want to say thank you to you. You know, big thank you for the opportunity, you know, to be part of the show. And, you know, it's been a pleasure, you know, just simply been an honor to be part of the show, and a very important day for me because the last show, you know, but you've raised some important issues. And your voice can never be silenced.
You're an absolute champion, my brother. Let me tell you what a privilege it's had to have you on the show. You've been an incredible asset, and your career is only just starting, so I'm almost sure that I can't wait to see you on Super Sport one day. For me, you should be hosting one of the big football shows. It's only a matter of time, my brother.
Thank you very much, boss.
Did you ever meet Nelson Mandela?
I wish I did. I wish I did, you know. Such a great man, but I know those who did, you know, they actually met God, you know.
Exactly.
You know, borrowing from the ways of Bono, he said, you know, when he met him in Cape Town, he said, you know, said to the people, they have just met God. So I can understand where people are coming from, because he was such a great man.
Your favorite Madiba moment, if you had to look back over time? A tough one.
Yeah, very, very tough, you know. When we actually won the bid towards the 2010 World Cup, you know, that was a defining moment for, you know, for South Africa. And like you rightly say, you know, sport has the power to unite people, and we saw what could do, you know, in 2010. So thank you very much to him for that.
Yeah, we've got a lot to thank him for. All the PSL games this weekend postponed, all the games this week, all the PSL games, the right decision taken. I mean, this week just belongs to remembering the great man himself, and football, I guess a lot of the players themselves probably wouldn't be in the right state of mind with what's going on around the country.
Yeah, definitely, boss. Remember, in the past, those same players couldn't sort of play on a professional platform because, you know, at the time it was not possible, you know, but it made it possible for them. So, and I have to commend them for postponing it, because if they didn't, you know, could have been very, very disappointing, because everybody has to honor him in this hour.
Yeah. So Pirates this season, though, will end in August next year. how about Platinum Stars, though, huh?
Hey,
what a story.
Yeah, what a story, boss. You know, nobody could have predicted this at the beginning of the season, you know. The way they've gone about their business, they've done very, very well. To be where they are, you know, and credit to them. I know a lot of people are saying, but Pirates, you know, losing three cup finals, but they're forgetting to mention one thing only, that, you know, the best team on the day won, and they deserve the credit, you know. They've done everything possible for them to be where they are. And, you know, they deserve credit for the job they've done this season. They deserve credit for, you know, showing faith in some of the staff in terms of continuity there. So they played their cards right, you know, so they deserve to be where they are.
I missed the game. Was it a decent game at least?
Yeah, it was a decent game, no doubt about that, you know. End-to-end stuff, lots of opportunities missed, especially in the first half. But in the second half, it was a different story altogether when this Botswana international, Toto Ngele, came in. And it just changed, you know, for Platinum Stars. What I like about Platinum Stars, they never play for draws. Because when they equalize, they could have sit back and said, you know what, we've equalized, we're relieved now, we can actually take them to penalties, which is much better for us. But, you know, they said, no way, we're not satisfied with this, we're not taking this, we're ending this in regulation time. And that's exactly what they did. You know, positive play from that team. A lot of people can learn a lot of things from them.
But more fuel to the fire. Again, Roger Dassault, people are talking about his phone is off, has been off for a couple of days. But, you know, I mean, to get to three finals, I mean, that's an achievement in itself. But it just seems like quite a few Buccaneer fans are just not happy enough. Without a trophy, it's time for the coach to go, according to some of them.
Yeah, I remember, boss, they've been saying he must go for quite a while now. You know, so for him to lose three cup finals, I'm sure is a good enough excuse for them to say, you know what, it's time for him to walk, you know. And it'll be interesting to see what management the Pirates do, because even the administrator Floyd Mbele has come out and say, you know what, we can't take a decision now on these sort of things, you know, because you don't want a situation like this where you've just lost the cup final and then your judgment is sort of, you know, clouded by what has happened, you know. So they'll wait a bit and see where it goes, but I feel they can keep him for the rest of the season, because there's no point changing now. You know, it's laid a foundation, and as much as lost these cup finals, I think they still have a chance of at least maybe winning the league if they focus on that. There's still the Nedbank Cup. You never know what can happen in football. Nobody predicted what was going to happen with Platinum Stars, for example.
Two PSL games over the weekend. I mean, Aces coming off their win over Sundowns, and then they lose to Polokwane City 2-1. But you've said it from the beginning of the season. You said this is going to be a season where any team can beat any team on any given day.
Absolutely, boss. You know, that's the thing with the PSL. I mean, you come off a win like that, you know, you expect them to win in the next match, and they simply don't do it, you know. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they continue this season, because they've done well with Bobby Solomon's there in charge, you know. But like I said, you know, the PSL, we can expect that, you know, the team to win this week and lose next week, because such is the unpredictable nature of this league that you can never predict anything, boss.
The other game was Ajax beating Maritzburg United 3-1. Ajax got off to a very sluggish start, changing coach, and that seems to have worked. They've had a good little run.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, I think Moshine Tuga was getting it wrong in terms of playing all the youngsters at once, you know. He could have sort of mixed them up nicely with the experienced guys, but he didn't, you know. He trusted a lot of them. And, you know, the ship of it was sinking there, so he had to change a few things and bring in the experienced guys. And it worked nicely because, you know, those youngsters are looking up to the experienced guys, and, you know, they're doing very well for themselves. And I think for me, with the quality they have at their disposal, they can actually finish in the top eight.
A lot of football analysts will say December, January will decide the destiny of the league title. I'm going to put you on the spot for the last time, T, on Sportsfire. Who's going to win the PSL this season?
Sundowns. You know, I still believe they'll do it. Yes, they lost against the Black Aces, but that's to be expected in this league because, you know, you can never predict anything. But I think for me, the way they actually went about planning for the season, stood them in good stead right from the beginning of the season. I think it will continue to do so until the end of the season. So, for me, I still back Sundowns to win the title.
T, you've never been scared to say what you think. You're one of the top football journalists and analysts in this country. It's been a pleasure having you on Sportsfire all this time. All the best, my brother, and look forward to seeing how your career goes from strength to strength.
Cool, boss. No, chat soon. You know, once again, I'm forever grateful to you, you know. May God bless you.
You're a champion.
Sport has the power to inspire and unite people.
Baby Jake Matlala, one of my favorite South African sporting celebrities. The guy, as short as he was, he had the biggest heart. He's one of those truly remarkable South African sporting celebrities. Taken away way too soon at the age of 51. Baby Jake, you are a legend and will remain in our hearts forever. Thanks for the memories, thanks for your friendship, and thanks for how much you have given back to South Africa and boxing. To his wife and two sons, Sportsfire shares in your grief and pain, and we send our sincere condolences. Rest in peace, Jakes.
I said, I mean, 1992 is the first time I met him, and then 1993... When I was chosen best boxer of, I mean, best sportsman. I was one of the sportsmen, best sportsmen in the country. And then, you know, I'm sure you know those, when this is called the presidential award. So he was the first one to give me a presidential award in 1993-94. So I got a presidential award. I'm in Cape Town. I came back again in 1997. Another presidential award in Union Building, and I made a joke, you know. I mean, everybody loved the joke, you know. I all laughed it, because I said to him, the only people, there are only two people in this country who are popular. I mean, you know, I just asked me why. I mean, Mr. Mandela is first one, because of his height, and Baby Jake, number two, because of his height also. You know, because there's a picture of me and him. No, I'm on a first time 93. I give him a hug. Ah, I'm look like a baby. I'm hugging the knees, you know? And he's 12 there.
Wow, gonna miss baby Jake. As much as we all gonna miss Nelson Mandela, the world's missing Mandela. Missing baby Jake's, and you can see the last interview we did on Sportsfire with baby Jake Matlala. It was a couple of years ago, and that interview you can actually see on Sportsfire, and how he talked so passionately about Nelson Mandela, that greatest moment when he was there to witness one of his world titles. And as I say, whew, just hard for South Africa when you lose legends in the space of a couple of days. But the world legend, Nelson Mandela, that legacy, if only it can just live on in South Africa. Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief, 1995 World Cup. And Dan, I'm just assuming that you were there for that game, and the stroke of genius from Madiba that day will live in the memories of us all forever.
Oh, Graham, just unbelievable. You know, but I have to actually go back to Newlands, the first game, the opening game which he opened.
Right.
And it was one of those days in Cape Town where shimmering, beautiful winter's day, and you could almost reach out and touch the mountain. And there was just a mood in Boundary Road that everybody was happy and optimistic, and you know, things were starting to move in our country, and we had the World Cup. And now we were into it, the Springboks against the world champions, the Wallabies. Kitch Christie had talked about the high road or the low road. We had to beat the Wallabies. And then we went into that game, and Merle McKenna was the girl who'd done the opening ceremony, which was, to my mind and in my memory, still the best of those ceremonies that I've ever seen, with all these little kids on the field and little Chinese and Gauchos and Japanese and little Americans, and it was just wonderful. And then Madiba appeared, then in a suit, and suddenly the crowd started chanting Nelson, 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 and I was absolutely overwhelmed. And right in front of me was a friend of mine from Argentina called Nicky Gonzalez del Solar, who had played hooker for Argentina, and he started crying. And then next to me was Freddie Hendricks from The Report, who's a great character, wonderful human being, Freddie, you know, sadly has passed on. And Freddie turned around to me, and he was absolutely weeping, and said, I don't think I've ever been so proud in my life to be South African. And Freddie, a colored man who had not voted until the year before in his life, and I think that just did us, you know. And then, obviously, I think that moment then made it for the Springboks, because then we were on the high road. They beat the Wallabies, so they beat the Wallabies on their merits. You remember Peter Hendricks' great try running around Kempo. And we were on it and into it, you know. And a lot happened before we got to Ellis Park. And then Ellis Park again, you know, for Madiba to appear on the field. And I was with Clinton van der Berg, my colleague from the Sunday Times then. And he appeared, and he was in a green jersey, in a Springbok jersey with a cap, number 6, Francois' number. And I remember turning to Clinton and just shouting to him, he's wearing a Springbok jersey, he's wearing a Springbok jersey. And nobody, no other statesman in the world could have pulled it off. You know, you can imagine one of the Bushes or John Major trying to wear their national jersey, it just wouldn't have worked. But for Mandela, it was an absolute stroke of genius. And the crowd got behind us and the roar, and then it was just, I think the Boks were then carried on that wave of emotion to win our first Rugby World Cup, you know. And Sean Fitzpatrick talks about looking across to the Springboks and just realizing to himself, we're in trouble here today, because we're playing this icon who's passed on his aura to the team in green, you know. So fantastic memory.
I guess this weekend could have been scripted than any better, with a Blitzbocker winning the Nelson Mandela Bay Sevens, and what a final as well.
And coming through against the All Blacks.
Sure.
I mean, how perfect was that? And being down and having to fight their way through, you know. And there again, you know, the Boks have often talked about the Madiba magic, and it really has worked for Springbok rugby, because, of course, he was the man who preserved the Springbok. There was a very strong feeling that the Springbok had to go. He understood that it was important, that he shouldn't be knocking down everything that people had some value to it. And he managed to twist it from a badge that might have represented repression to a badge that everybody was proud of. And obviously the badge has now been worn twice to win two Rugby World Cups, you know. So it means the Springbok rugby team is right up there, one of the best in the world, you know. And Fantastic times, you know. When I wrote my book, The Springboks and the Holy Grail, I really went into that period and studied the history. And Mandela is a statesman. He was a genius, you know. And the one thing about him that I'm very sad about is I never shook his hand. I've often been very close to him. But people who met him talked about his aura. And there was something angelic, something mesmeric about Nelson Mandela. And everybody, you know, including Tiger Woods, who's been near him, spoke of it. And, you know, there it was in the stadium named after him in the area where he came from. It worked one more time, you know, and great for the Sevens box to pull it off.
And I guess, you know, not a lot said about Carl Brown about, you know, that, you know, from a kid, what he's matured into, and to a respected captain of the Blitzbocker, not only a great player as well, but I think a lot of credit for a lot of the success can go down, even though he was injured for quite a while. I think it was this season. Yeah, he's turned into just to a really great ambassador for South African rugby as well.
Yeah, what a nice young man, you know, from UCT. He had to realize that he wasn't going to have a 15s career. You know, first seen in Varsity Cup, funny enough, and look where he's taken to. But how well he conducts himself, you know. He's the kind of guy that when he stands up there to represent the Springbok Sevens, you're proud that he's a South African, you know. And I think he's inculcated that mood into the team. And then obviously a lot of the other senior players on the Sevens side, I mean, they deserve an incredible amount of credit as well, you know. And the last time we chatted, I said I was a little concerned that we might need a bit of height. It's the side maybe wasn't tall enough, but boy, did they prove me wrong. And
they
and
stood so tall.
Yeah, pace is what it's all about, you know.
Not too much coming out of that SARU President's Council meeting last week. The disappointing part for the Eastern Cape again is that there's no Currie Cup expansion as far as I could see, and then talked about caps, but some of the nitty-gritty stuff, so little has been talked about. And I mean, you wonder what happened is at these meetings.
Yeah, and you know, for an organization that sends out countless emails, when they really have news and they should be conversing with their public, they don't, you know. Because, for instance, what's happening with Super Rugby? What are we discussing in Super Rugby? What are we going to put forward to make a better Super Rugby situation? I had it a little wrong. You know, I couldn't understand that six could outvote eight until I went back on the rules. And, of course, it's written into the Constitution that you have to make a change like that. You need a 75% majority. So, obviously, if the six little unions stuck together, they couldn't carry any majority, so it just wasn't going to happen. And I understand the little unions. You know, they're fighting for their lives because I think they think if they dropped out of everything and there were only four of them left, they just wouldn't have a future, you know. And that is why SA Rugby should be looking at systems that include them, you know, where, for instance, you do take the top side in the beginning of a competition. I've always said, Joffers, that the one to get rid of is the Vodacom Cup. You know, the Vodacom Cup could really become part of the Currie Cup and also a big club competition in that time. But in that period of the Currie Cup, all the teams play because we've got a whole long time. Everybody else is involved in Super Rugby. And it might be just a single round, but you take your top teams to your smaller venues and then, you know, they get knocked out, but they do have a theoretic chance of causing an upset. And then eventually on the log, you decide who plays in the Currie Cup proper. There is a way of doing it. You know, I sat down and just scribbled some notes on a bit of paper. But then again, it is also very concerning for South African rugby that you have the provinces that have no money, that are effectively bankrupt, outvoting the strongest province. You know, that would be like the branch of FNB in Upington telling head office in Joburg what to do. And that's exactly what's happening in rugby. But it is more complicated than just making a joke out of it, because on the one hand, you want to preserve rugby in the country districts, you want to make it stronger, and on the other hand, the top provinces bring in all the money and they want all the benefits, you know. But as we've talked so often on Sportsfire, you don't know what SA Rugby are thinking, you know, you don't know what they're putting forward, you don't know who they're conversing with. You know, and we tend to have seen that we have an invisible president and now a CEO who's fighting his own battles, you know.
Sure.
So he's certainly not concentrating on SARU matters at the moment.
Yeah, and tomorrow on sportsfire.co.za you'll see the sad story about the promised rugby academy in Alistair that's been promised all this money that hasn't appeared as of yet. And when you see Regan Hoskins' response, wow, it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that. And in fact, when that whole Alistair thing came up, You know, I was very anti it, and I said, what on earth are you putting a rugby academy 100 miles from Port Elizabeth? The academy should be in New Brighton Township. You know, so there again.
Well, you'll see that story tomorrow on sportsfire.co.za, Dan. Right, SA Rugby Player of the Year for you?
Yeah, there are a lot of people that were outstanding, and it's a difficult one. You know, who do you go with? Do you go with an Eben Etzebeth, who's been a great season, and he's the young lion who's come through? Brian Abana, who's moved his try-scoring record up to 53. You know, he's chasing down 100 tests now. But you know who I'm going to get? My player there. Willem Alberts was very good all through the year. Dion Vermeulen, Francois Lowe. But I'm going to go with John de Villiers, our skipper. We've just been talking about Kyle Brown. I thought John has handled himself superbly. He's shown himself to be a diplomatic, skilled captain off the field and a very skilled captain on the field. I mean, some of his little questions to the referees, and I think when you consider that he was not the first choice, you know, if you recall that Hanneke didn't really want him, and because of Skalkberger's injury, it fell to Jean de Villiers. So for me, the Springbok Rugby Player of the Year, our captain, Jean de Villiers.
Incredible ambassador as well. And best game of the year?
Well, there's only one, isn't there? It's Ellis Park, the Springboks against the All Blacks. What a game that was, you know. The Boks scored 4 tries, and that's something that we can hang on to, but the Blacks scored 5, and they won the rugby championship. But it was an absolute classic, and Ellis Park produced the classic again. It's where we have to play the All Blacks, we've ever said so. And the good news for next year is they're taking them back, the All Blacks, and the Boks will be back at Ellis Park, you know. And there's some things happening in Springbok rugby, you know, that says that things are coming together. For instance, the player I left out just now, Billy LaRue, who's been like a breath of fresh air. But that game, Springboks, the All Blacks at the park.
Looking ahead to 2014, is going to be a busy rugby year.
Oh, yeah, you know, and there's a lot happening again, you know. Other than we, again, have got quite a disappointing mid-year tour. You know, we're going to be hosting Wales and Scotland again. Can you believe that? You know, playing Scotland again.
South Africa against Pakistani cricket. It's our favourite. Yeah. It's our favourite team to play against.
Yes, well, maybe we got ourselves in a situation where it's the only team we can get there because they haven't arranged anything else. You know, rugby is much better organised on that basis. It does work on a roster, but it is very odd that Scotland are coming back. Of course, Wales might come back as the Six Nations champions. So there'll be a nice edge to that. And then into the Rugby Championship, you know, and from now on, 1 year out from the Rugby World Cup, there's going to be a lot of focus. And one has to be quite positive, because if you take Mayer's first year in 2012 and compare that with his second year in 2013 and the advancement made, now if we have the same advance in 2014, that could be fantastic, because if we add some more cogs to the wheel, I mean, that could be really fantastic. And I think that's something to look forward to. Is this team, this Springbok team, getting better and better, or are they, or the way they play, is that how they play? So a lot to look forward to. And you know, there is a black spot, and it's called the All Blacks. Hanek has played them 4 times, lost 4 times. He'd be very, very well aware of that. But there is the view that the All Blacks are an aging side, and that we are slightly better off than they are. So next year is the year where everybody's trying to make a point. Going into the World Cup, because you want to, you know, we saw it when we won in 07 in France, because we'd beaten England well and finally laid the England bogey to rest. We were so confident when we met them in Paris, you know, and that's what we need to be doing now. We need to beat the All Blacks, beat them well, go on tour at the end of the year, win all the games again, win them, because then you march into England with all that confidence and that aura that we've just been talking about, how important that is, of a side that is tough to beat. So I must be honest, I'm really looking forward to it. Not to the Super Rugby, I think it's too long. It's too much of a messy competition. But the Springboks, I'd love to see them add another few percentage points.
Dan Retief. Danny, this is our last Sports Fire. I just want to thank you for your incredible professionalism. I don't think I've ever worked with someone as professional that is never, you know, you've just been, apart from all your incredible rugby knowledge, it's just been an absolute privilege and pleasure working with you. And I just want to thank you for your massive contribution to Sports Fire over the last 2 years.
Graham, thanks very much. And I must tell you, I've enjoyed every moment. I've loved it. I've loved your team. I've loved their professionalism and Tara, and everybody's always so upbeat. And I just want to say to you, it's very sad that the Sports Fire hasn't been picked up by one of the bigger radio channels, because it is the best sports program on the South African airways. It deserves to be going out every night, and I hope that will happen. And then to you personally, I would like to say you become the whistleblower supreme. You're a guy standing up to what's going on in our sport, and I just hope that you swap your whistle for a trumpet.
Dan, love your work, my boy.
Cheers, Joffers.
Sport has the power to inspire and unite people.
Golfers, hackers, I'm talking about the amateurs. I mean, yeah, when we talk about the Gary Player Country Club in Sun City, I mean, there are very few of us that will say the Gary Player Country Club is easy. And then you watch Thomas Bjorn win the Nedbank Golf Challenge on 20 under par. From the back tees, nevertheless. But just amazing golf, and what a great tournament again. Thomas Bjorn winning it by two shots from Jamie Donaldson and Sergio Garcia.
It was a hard-fought day today. You know, first of all, you obviously got a guy that's three shots ahead, and you've got to try and make up that ground. And I had a sneaky feeling that either Henrik or Sergio was going to be close at the end, and Sergio kept piling on the pressure, and you could just see that his numbers kept improving on the golf course. But those two big moments today, you know, the 5-iron into 10 was probably the best shot of the week, and to walk off with an eagle there kind of gave me, all of a sudden gave me the lead, and then obviously the shot into 14, a bit fortunate, but that's what happens when you win golf tournaments, I guess. That I was very unfortunate on that hole yesterday. So as I said in the prize giving there, you know, golf has a funny way of taking away from you and giving back to you, and you know, you got to enjoy those moments when it gives something back to you. It was two big moments, and obviously to have two eagles on the back nine on a Sunday, that doesn't happen very often. I'm proud of the way I handled myself this week. It was you know, great in this field. You know, you know there's going to be somebody that's going to go low and play really well. So I just stuck with everything this week, played well, putted probably better than I have done for a while, even though I didn't putt great, but it gives you confidence and belief. So just proud and happy of winning this golf tournament. You know, it's one of those tournaments that's been there for so long, and the times I've been here before, it's been difficult for me to get right into the tournament. I had a good chance in, must be in 03, 04, to win, but, you know, that got away from me. And so I always wanted to come down here and put in a strong performance, and I guess this time was my time. No, this is right up there. I obviously, you know, there's one, maybe two victories for me, and obviously the first one always stands out, and then, you know, my 4 days head-to-head with Tiger in 2001 in Dubai is obviously very special to me, to come out on top in that, but this is right up there. You know, it's the golf I played this week was so good, and I'll take that with me. You know, I'm 42, and this every year a new season starts, you think, oof, I wonder if this is going to be the season where it starts not going so well, and so to start my 14th season like this is just unbelievable.
N, I've just got wind of an imminent security breach.
Don't worry, I've already destroyed Document Y.
You did what?
Relax, Bo. I first converted it into digital format with Document Manager NX.
Great. Now everyone has access to it.
I saved it as a password-protected PDF.
Really?
And I'm tracking any activity on it.
Darn it. Is document management that good? I'll soon be out of a job.
You want to know my secret? A secure document solution from Rico. I'll even give you the password. Rico.co.za. Rico. Imagine. Change.
Cricket certainly wasn't probably top of the agenda for definitely the second ODI, but Neil Manthorpe Manners. Nelson Mandela, did you ever meet him? You've travelled extensively. You've been around the block a few times.
I did, Joffers. Yes, I was in the right place at the right time a couple of days before the opening game of the 2003 World Cup, when the team were had a meeting with the great man in the Cape Sun in the team room, and I was was in the right place at the right time, and the team manager Kudamaraja said, "Look, we've decided at the last minute that we'd like to invite a couple of journalists, commentators in." to be part of the or to at least to witness Madiba meeting the team and Sean Pollock introducing him, and so I was told actually the other journalist was Michael Owen Smith, who's now the communications manager for CSA, but we were told to stand in one corner and not to say anything, and you won't get to meet him, but just observe proceedings. And of course Madiba being himself, you know, he met the team. He had a word with all of them. He then turned to the catering staff and the waiters and introduced himself to them. And there we were, standing in the corner dutifully, minding our own business and observing with a view to perhaps writing something about it. And he looked around to make sure that he'd introduced himself to everyone in the room. And then he spotted us and said, "What are you two standing over there for?" And we said, we were told to, sir. So he walked over to us and shook our hands and asked us what we were looking forward to in the tournament and how we thought it would go, and then he said, "I've heard your voice. You've been commentating for many years. Why do you have an English accent?" So I explained why, and then he left. And like everybody else, you know, that was the one and only time that I met him personally, and I did wonder how much hyperbole and exaggeration that people had applied to their meetings with him, and how that the moment would remain with them for the rest of their lives, and the aura, and it was all true. Just, all of it was just so, so true. You know, and so many people that I've spoken to can't remember what he said, and yet they had sort of, you know, 2-3 minutes conversation, and he asked questions. And much of it was the same with me. I can't really remember very much of what he said. It was just, you know, the aura, just being in his presence was enough to sort of, you know, to sort of send you into a slightly catatonic state of awe yourself.
Yeah, he touched so many lives. And that's one thing about everyone will tell you, that anyone who's met him, I mean, he listened. You know, he wouldn't just stand there and stare at you blankly. He listened to people, doesn't matter who you were.
Exactly, and he had this incredible ability to read people and to absorb information. And it's amazing how quickly we forget what, you know, particularly, you know, worrying or dangerous moments of our lives and history. And I'll just never ever forget 1993 after Chris Hani was murdered, and the fear that was experienced by many. I was living in Johannesburg at the time, you know, neighbors were desperately trying to flee the country, and, you know, and people were saying to me, you know, you're so lucky, you've got both passports and you can leave and you can go anywhere, I don't think that many of us, perhaps some of our listeners would be too young to remember, not many probably, I think most of them would probably remember, but, you know, how close the country was to disintegrating and, you know, civil war, and I remember him disarming those kind of situations, and I think that all adds to, I remember him going on television, making that speech to all South Africans and saying that your duty to your country, to yourselves, to your children and future generations is your patience and your tolerance and your acceptance of your fellow mankind, fellow man and fellow South Africans. And I think that, you know, remembering all that was 10 years before I met him, I suppose, and that had never ever left me. It was in my subconscious probably, and, you know, all of that sort of comes up, and that adds to the area. You meet this man that saved us all from civil war.
Amazing. India's tour, short in every sense of the word so far. The Proteas have played some really good cricket in those first ODIs.
Really, really spectacular. You know, you opened up by saying that the cricket was probably the last thing on everyone's mind in Durban yesterday, and it's true, but I tell you what, I think I would like to think that I will always, always remember about that day, and the irony, of course, is that you and I and me and many other people have spoken about how quickly ODIs come and go from the memory, but, you know, that's one that I'll never, ever forget. And the reason is because of the spontaneous, not conjured atmosphere of celebration that there was at Kingsmead. I'll never ever forget AB de Villiers' speech, which was deeply, deeply moving and brilliantly delivered. He's never given a press conference anything like that before. He can barely say hello without stumbling over his words. And, you know, there he stood in front of both teams, in front of the world, and delivered this incredibly moving, heartfelt, and professionally delivered speech. And yet, it was, you know, but also the atmosphere of celebration. I really felt that, you know, there were more smiles on people's faces than looks of sorrow. And it was a real atmosphere of a celebration of a great life, fully lived, apart from the 27 years he spent incarcerated, and an atmosphere of gratitude for what he'd done for everyone there. So it was a happy day.
Two individual performances I want to point out. Hashim Amla, passing Sir Viv Richards's quickest to 4,000 ODI runs. I just love Amla. And then, he says he was embarrassed to pass that record. He's just one of the nicest guys around and just so humble.
Exactly. And he was deeply embarrassed. I mean, it would be all very well and good for us to say that we were embarrassed by any compliment that anybody pays us, but He was genuinely, and you know, there's a great sense of irony because, you know, Hashim Amla hits 2 sixes a year, and there's Viv Richards, the master blaster, who was ahead of his time in being able to smash the ball out of the ground and, you know, bat with obviously great grace and power combination, but you know, Hashim is largely just grace. I mean, he's the first to admit that there's not a great deal of power, certainly not in, there's a different kind of power. I mean, he hits the ball along the ground to the cover boundary as well and as hard as anybody, but that's, you know, timing rather than power. It reminded me, the Bhatia side against India in the last two games, and it is only two games, and I'm the first to remind everybody of that. You know, don't read too much into two games. But the greatest one, the most innovative coach, I think, in modern-day cricket was Bob Woolmer. I'll argue that for the rest of my life. And he was the first to, he was the first coach ever to coach, to actually train players to play the reverse sweep in first-class cricket, and that was 20 years ago. He was way, way ahead of his time. He used to encourage fielders to try and pick up and throw with both hands to become ambidextrous. He says it works in other sports. Why, you know, batsmen know you're right or left-handed, so surprise them, pick it up and throw left-handed. I mean, that hasn't happened, but many of his other innovations have happened. But the one thing that he always said is, as much as you have to think on your feet and adapt and have plan A, B, and C, he also said that one-day cricket is about repetition. After all, the game is the same length and it follows a similar pattern. The bowlers can all bowl a certain number of overs. If you can come up with a system like they do in American sports with baseball and basketball, work out a system that maximizes your players' strengths, then perfect that system and then repeat it as often as possible, and you will win more games than you lose. And he is the highest win-loss ratio of any coach ever. I mean, he won 80% of the games in which he was coach of the national side. Okay, they didn't have a great success at the World Cups, but then that was a legacy, unfortunately, which was to continue. But, you know, it just seems to me that things are beginning to click. Russell Domingo and the work Gary Kirsten did before is beginning, finally, after 2 years of experimentation, to come up with a system. You know, they've got Dale Steyn, they're bowling for an extended spell up front, and then an extended spell at the end, rather than what AB de Villiers has been doing, is bowling him in sort of four, even five spells. And obviously the opening partnership has been colossal, only the second time ever that there's been consecutive 150 opening partnerships in one-day internationals. So Quinton de Kock has fitted in brilliantly, but lots of little parts are beginning to fit in, and I think finally they're coming up with their system which suits their players and maximizes their talents. And it is only two games, but I've seen the signs building for the last 6 months, so I'm very optimistic.
I can listen to you all day. I'm going to have to put you on the spot here and get some quick answers now from you. A couple of weeks ago, you likened Quinton de Kock to Adam Gilchrist. I think you're spot on. The kid is good. He's in that class.
Well, when you can score 100 off as many balls batting within yourself as he has been doing, then you know something is especially rare. And massive credit goes to Amla, who's changed his game to fit in with Quinton de Kock. AMLA has a career strike rate of 90. He's been striking at 75 in order to push de Kock and to keep him under, you know, just, he's going, you, if you're in front, I'm behind you and I can see you. If I'm striking at 90 and you're going to try and keep up and you're going to lose control. So, oh, massive credit to Hashim.
Too soon for de Kock in the test squad?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You wanted a short answer? Yes.
Aussie. 2-0 up.
Haven't they surprised everyone? Well, they haven't surprised everyone. England has. They've been weak, over-prepared rather than under-prepared. Far too. Andy Flower, who's one of my oldest friends, has allowed himself to become too pedantic in his preparation. You know, attention to detail is one thing, but not mung bean salad for the players, you know, 2 days before, that sort of thing. And I think that they've become claustrophobic and frustrated, the England players, and I think that's had an effect. It's not just the coach's fault, but certainly there's a lack of spontaneity and a massive element of predictability about the England team. But Aussie have played superbly.
Neil Manthorpe, this is our last sports fire. Just you being, I mean, as I said, I could listen to you all day. Your cricket knowledge is just second to none. You've been a massive asset to Sportsfire over the last couple of years. Manners, I can only thank you, and a huge debt of gratitude to you.
Joffers, thank you. I'm tempted to say it's a sad day because it's the last day of Sportsfire, but I've just seen too many good things which come to an end in one form and then reignite in another, and I know that the good work that you and Sportsfire have been doing will reemerge somewhere soon.
Thanks very much, Englishman. Cheers, Manners.
Sport has the power to inspire and unite people.
I'm Steve Crossman with the latest from the Premier League. The Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger believes this season's Premier League title race could be one of the closest for many years. The Gunners are 5 points clear at the top of the table after Sunday's 1-1 draw with Everton at the Emirates.
These 5 points will be needed because all the teams are very good and that everybody will be dropping points, but the consistency level we have shown can be a big asset for us, you know, if we can keep that attitude, that spirit. Of course, be disappointed, but not down.
A win at Old Trafford, now a draw at the Emirates. Everton are up to fifth in the table. They're only a point behind Manchester City. Their manager, Roberto Martinez, believes a place in next season's Champions League is a realistic target.
I always said that Champions League has to be an objective for Everton Football Club just due to the history, and we won 9 titles in the league, and we need to get that back, and that brings expectations. Obviously, we're not working in the budgets and the finances that another 6 clubs are working in the league, but I always felt that we need to be creative enough to one day challenge for the Champions League position. It could take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, who knows, but that has to be the ultimate aim.
René Meulensteen earned his first win as Fulham manager on Sunday. His side overcame Aston Villa 2-0 at Craven Cottage. The result ends a run of 7 consecutive defeats. And Meulensteen, who recently replaced Martin Jol as head coach, says he's already noticed a change in the attitude of the players.
You could see the spirit on last Wednesday, and the most important thing is then that you don't, you know, let that slip out of your hands, you know. So we were clear on making sure that this was the base for the next performance and building from it, you know. Be positive going forward, make sure that we create the chances to score the goals, and I think we did that.
And the draw for the third round of the FA Cup was also made on Sunday. Among the 32 ties to be played, the standout game sees Arsenal take on Tottenham in a North London derby. And for more football news from the BBC, use your mobile phone. Just go to bbc.com/mobile and don't forget to bookmark it.
Soccer 6 is your chance to score big. Over 4 million rand is won on Soccer 6 every week, and it's easy to play. To win, you must forecast the results of 6 matches. Play by phone, online, or on your mobile. Soccer 6. Your best soccer bet.
Take Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor. Shane Mack, in all my hurry and rush today, I forgot to have a chat to you to what we're going to chat about. So I'm putting you on the spot with everything.
Not a problem.
Can you tell me what happened in that Liverpool-Arsenal game in 1913?
I think Liverpool won 2-0. I lost Terry. He was around in that game. He was probably fortunate. So I'll have to get hold of him.
I was just sad. You know, I was looking at the BBC website today, and I see DJ Campbell, the former Premiership footballer, among six people being questioned in connection with allegations of match fixing. And you'd think a player in the Premiership would be paid enough that he wouldn't possibly be tempted to take money. That's quite a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is, you know, Joffrey, you know, with money around and whatever, it's always difficult. We know in our own country a few guys have done that, you know, and I'm not talking footballers.
Sure.
We all know all about it. And, you know, money is an evil thing, you know, and unfortunately these things happen and people are greedy and this happens.
Yeah, greed. That's the root of all
that's
evil.
That's the word, you know. Exactly, it's the root of all evil.
Yeah. Right, Arsenal held by Everton. I never saw actually any games this weekend. Was that a decent game?
Was a decent game. I actually watched that on Sunday, and Everton, you know, started off like a house on fire. For the first 20 minutes looked like they were going to give Arsenal a lesson, and then Arsenal came back the last 15 in the first half, and a draw is a good result, but it's a great result for the rest of the clubs and the rest of the team, you know, keeps them in touch, and Arsenal not out of reach yet.
Liverpool, your Liverpool hanging tough.
Sure, quite surprised there, Joff, you know, for me, it's a pleasure, and I love it every minute that we get extra few goals, but it's that man Suarez, you know, he's been brilliant and different class, and they can't seem to stop him. You know, Van Persie was like that last year, and now all of a sudden Suarez is like that with us. But yeah, long may it carry on, man.
Yeah, okay, we won't talk about the week before.
No, we won't. You know, these things happen, it'll get you, but that's going to happen. I mean, Mourinho came out and said, we got beaten on the weekend, but you're not going to go unbeaten. And these things happen, and we just got to bounce back and move on from there.
Yeah, and it was a wild weekend of results in the Premiership.
Sure. Yeah, hectic, you know, and you'll see later when I give you the exact payouts, and that you'll understand why. It's a huge payout, and
what a weekend. Yeah, what were some of those soccer pool payouts?
Well, the Saturday, the pool, I think it's a record. I'll have to be corrected on this. It was 33 million in that soccer 13. There were only two winners in that office. Basically, each guy collecting 9 million. So that's huge, you know. 9 million each. And then the soccer 13 on Sunday got to 7.2 million and 9 winners, 324,000. And there was no winners in the soccer 10 on Sunday. That just shows you what a weekend it was.
Horse racing weekend, any highlights? What stuck out?
Well, in the fast lane, won the Phillies Guinea in Cape Town, you know, for Richard Furie and Justin Smith again. Looks like a very good filly. And then as well, you know, we had Grand Finico. He had five winners, including Ferry in the Woods in the Southern Cross Sprint. You know, brilliant for any jockey. And, what a pleasure, you know, five winners in one day on a big race day. Nothing wrong for the youngster.
Five winners, Grand Finico, the jockey.
Grand Finico, five winners, including, as I said, the sprint on Ferry in the Woods, which beat Via Africa.
In the fast lane, was that the favourite?
It was the favourite for Justin Smith. It had beaten most of the field in the run before, and it just showed its class again, you know, and won a good race. Can go into better things, I think.
PA pick sixes, any big numbers?
The Kenilworth, the Saturday, the pick six, got to 1.6 million, and there were only 24 winners paid 67,000. But at the Vaal on Saturday, once again, I mean, unbelievable, 800,000, 10% of it was won. So the carryover are going to be going on probably this weekend sometime of 724,000. That's huge, you know, and as you're saying, you know, it's very difficult to catch the pick sixes at the moment, and they're all paying well.
Yeah, the Vaal can always bring up some
exactly.
Shock results.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's always very difficult to catch them. So, yeah, we'll see, you know. Probably be on the weekend sometime, as I said.
Did you ever meet Nelson Mandela?
Unfortunately, didn't, you know. It was one of the few things that I never got to do. And what a brilliant man. You know, we're never going to see another man like him in this world, basically. And, you know, obviously, the week of mourning for him, and we were just all pray with him.
It's the last sports fight tonight, Shane Mack. You've been an integral part of it, my boy. Thank you for your valued input. Been a huge asset to the team here at Sports Fire. And wishing you all the best. And, yeah, may only good things come to you in the new year as well.
You too, Jefferson. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the opportunity for doing it. Yeah, and keep wild, you know. And I'm sure whatever you do, you'll do well.
Thanks, my boy. We'll run into you soon, sure, again.
Okay, Jefferson.
Take care there. Shane McGregor, Teletrack analyst. Before we get to Norm, this is, as I said, the last show. The main reason being, quite simple, is with all the corruption and dirt in South African sport, I've lost my passion. I've lost my passion for being a radio sports presenter. And I've been weighing it up for a couple months now that maybe it's time for a complete change in 2014 to try and get that passion back. I love sport. Sports journalism has been my career since 21 years of age, my stint at CNN. Coming back here is the best thing I've ever done, but it just upsets me to see what's going on in South African sport. But I will continue with the exposés on corruption. I've been blacklisted from most sporting events, not that I've missed anything. Don't like sitting next to false people, but it makes it tougher to get guests on the show each week, as many are quite scared to come on the show, and many people, even when they've retweeted stuff, many sporting people have been told to delete their retweets whenever something important has come from Joffa's My Boy Twitter account. But I will not stop with my exposés, the website sportsfire.co.za. Our off-the-wall analyst time to end off with something light. It's been quite a heavy show. Hello, Norm.
How's it, Graham?
Make us laugh.
No, but Graham, how can it end with me that's heavy? I am a little heavy, eh?
You're not the only one that's a little heavy. Look at Tabo. 68 kilograms.
Yeah, but you're 104.
How do you know that?
Because you keep telling me.
What do you mean? I am exactly...
Nothing. You must see what your cheddar here and a pork looks like.
What?
From all the comfort eating, which is weird, because I thought that stuff was to wash clothes with. Do you know what I mean? She's farting bubbles here. You know, but anyway, at least it doesn't smell bad.
Oh, stop it, Norm.
No, she's very gassy, Graham. let's not pull anyone's toes, yeah. But listen, Graham, what's this now about the lost show?
What do you mean? You didn't know?
No.
I'm sure. Boy,
you know, you don't come visit me, yeah? You're always rude to me. You always give me the least amount of time. I journalise better than you do most of the time. Did you know on this day in 1926,
yeah,
in America golf people tuned for the first time you were allowed to have a golf stick that's made out of steel?
1926? That's great journalism.
That's great journalism, but it's very bad commentating, because why do they still say that he teed off with the wood? If for like 70 or 100 years it's been like... steel. But Graham, you know what? I actually did know, but I was—I didn't want to make a bit too much of a scene. But I wrote a poem.
Yeah.
Have we got time? Because you always cut me.
How long's the poem? 2 minutes.
Yeah, I could make it 2 minutes.
2 minutes you got. Fire away, Norm.
Okay, but what if it's shorter?
That's also fine.
Okay. Yeah, let's be honest. It's not the first time you've been asked that, hey? Okay. Okay, Graham, as our time together comes to an end, with loads of laughs and the occasional offend, you captained our team with integrity and honor. If we were the band U2, you would have been Bonner. You faced the sporting authority with courage and balls, and like a drunk high court judge, you crashed into walls. We spoke about every sport under the sun. Even in times were tough, we managed some fun. From my trailer park, we spoke of games. I told you stories of my friends with strange names. We spoke of many sports, their wins and losses, and, you know, how Darwin wants his thumbs back from any sporting bosses. From Tiger getting caught and his cherry going nuts, to Custer finding hers, which took a lot of guts. Yain and Pork, you're like family to me. You know, not just you, your cherry and kid, some all three. Though sometimes our line wasn't clear and my words of wisdom faded, our sporting journalising and entertainment never wavered. So I wish you well with a road ahead as you finally see your Cherry and hopefully her wed. A good friend and ambassador, there's never been one truer, because people of your calibre are getting fewer and fewer. So thank you for all our chats and our times that we shared. I'm going to miss that crazy laugh and that crazy bald head. You captain us like a number one, and I now wish you well. Graham Long, may you run.
You are an unbelievable... You know what? You're wasting your time. It's incredible, Norm. You're just the most hilarious guy. Not only a good mate, but a great-natured person, and one of the funniest guys that I've ever met. On the spot, knows his sport. Boy, only bigger things need to come your way in 2014, my brother. And thank you for being the great partner that you've been on SportsFire. You have just been a real treat.
Oh, Graham, thank you. Thank you for making me famous.
You're a champion.
I promise you, they even put stairs here on my trailer now. Now it's called a cabin.
Normie, love your work, Norm.
Okay, Graham, I love you. I'll meet you soon.
Take care.
Okay,
take care,
thanks,
my boy.
Guys.
What a gun. Yeah, if you need a comedian, stand-up comedian Malcolm Ferreira, what a good guy as well. Yeah, sadly it is. Come to the end of an era for SportsFire. To all the listeners, we thank you. To the syndication partners, to the staff at Radio Today, professional as always, James and the team, what a great radio station. Real radio people that deserve a lot more, and I hope Radio Today keeps on going from strength to strength. It's certainly going in the right direction. And to this incredible small team here at SportsFire, to Ed, Tabo and Tara, boy, I'm going to miss you guys. You guys have been just so reliable, so professional, and without you three, the success of SportsFire would never have been. So signing off for the last time for SportsFire tonight, a very sad day indeed for us, but who knows, we will all come back and meet again. All the sports, all the news, SportsFire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. SportsFire, powered by Ricoh.